Hello, I'm Pastor Bronk Flint, and I want to welcome you to Lesson 1 of the Discipleship Training Manual. And we're so glad that you're here with us. This lesson is designed for you, and we want to give you the opportunity to share in what has just happened to you. In fact, the lesson one is entitled in your manual that you're looking at is What Just Happened to Me, Part One. As I said, welcome. Welcome to the family of God. You've not joined a club, but you have come into a family. And to come into a family, you have to, this family, you have to be spiritually born into it. And so if you are watching this video, then you have just recently made a commitment to Christ, or maybe you're coming back from a long journey of being away from Christ. But either way, welcome to you, and we appreciate you watching this first video. There'll be more videos coming up. Several more, and it's our desire in this one to just introduce ourselves and to begin to introduce some basic fundamentals of Christian living. One thing that you've got to realize from the start is that if you've just come to Christ, if you've made a commitment to Christ or coming back, you are what we would call a baby in Christ, and there are certain things, nutrients that babies need from the very beginning to be able to grow. And we hope that in these next several lessons, you'll be able to receive those spiritual nutrients and instructions to grow in Christ. First, let's talk about your commitment. What does it mean to make a commitment to Christ? It's very important that you understand what you have just done. Or maybe you're watching this video and someone has said, watch this. It'll give you more understanding to possibly make a decision in the near future. But let me just assume in a good way that you have already made that decision. So let me talk to you about the commitment that you have made. What's the difference between believing in Christ and being a true Christian believer? Well, there's really a big difference. A lot of people say they believe in God, but not everybody that believes in God is truly ready for eternity. They're not ready just because they believe in the existence of God or in the existence of Christ. But what we want to talk about for a few minutes tonight is your commitment. And what does it mean, the commitment that you just made? The first thing I want to tell you is that the commitment that you just have made recently, or a decision to come back, maybe, as I said, from a long journey, is a decision, it's a commitment to give Christ your entire life and to follow Him. Let me talk for just a moment about why we need Christ. Someone might ask the question, why do I need Christ, or why do I need to make a commitment to Christ? The heart of the gospel, if I could come up with any scripture, and if someone were to ask me, Pastor, what is the verse that explains the gospel, the salvation message? Well, I would have to tell them, one verse, actually two verses, but these verses are in your manual right there in front of you as you're watching this. And so I want to read these verses, and it's verses that people quote or read all the time. This is John chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse is very important. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There you have it. There's the entire gospel. God so loved the world, you were part of that world, I'm part of that world, that he sent his Son, Jesus, that if we would believe in him, we would not perish, but would have everlasting life. So why do we need Christ? Number one, according to the verse of Scripture that we just read and there in your manual, number one, we need Christ so that we will not perish or spend eternity away from God. Perishing means that if I do not believe in Christ, then I will suffer the penalty for that, which is a godless eternity, exiled from God forever. So these verses of Scripture fixes that. It gives us a prescription to fix that. If I put my trust in Christ and believe in him, then I will have everlasting life. And that's number two, the reason why that we need Christ is because we need Christ so that we can have everlasting life. Let me say this, if you've made this decision recently to follow Christ and become a believer in Christ, then you not only have eternal life, you have everlasting life. And there is a difference. And they're both the same in a certain sense. But not only do you have an assurance of living with God forever after you die, but you also have life that begins at the moment that you said, Jesus, come into my life. And that true life of God lives inside of you presently. Now, the Amplified Bible says this concerning the verses that we just read, and that's in your manual as well. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten Son, unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, that means, to be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. So again, the question is, why do we need Christ? Let me continue on for just a moment. The first part was answered in John 3:16. We need Christ because we put our trust in him so that we'll not spend eternity apart from him. But not only we will not, that's the negative side, but the positive side, we get to spend all eternity with God by believing in him. In the verses in front of you, Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all, as a result of it, he's saying, for that all have sinned. I'll read that again. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm going to read it also out of the Amplified, and that's there in your manual as well. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death as the result of sin, so death spread to all men, no one being able to stop it or to escape its power, because all men sinned. Let me talk for just a moment about what I would call the death equation. When I say equation, I'm talking about mathematics in a certain sense. Usually when you put 1 and 1, 1 plus 1, it equals 2. In this death equation, in the verses that we just read, one man who was named Adam committed one sin of treason against God, and one man and one sin cause the whole human race to fall into a sin nature and what we just read, spiritual death. Now later we will talk about another lessons, maybe the entirety of what that means, but tonight, for simplicity, let me talk about this for just a moment. The first man ever created was Adam, and God gave him a commandment, and it was one commandment: don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And for sake of time and for other things, we won't go into all of that tonight. But this one man, through a fault of his own, decided to go against God. The verses that we just read tell us that as a result of this one man's sin, sin passed to all men. So as a result of Adam sinning, Adam did do what God told him, commanded him not to do. And as a result of that, Adam died spiritually. We'll talk a lot more about that in time to come. But as he died spiritually, the Bible teaches us that what happened to him progressed into all humankind. And so from that standpoint, Adam was the first, committed one sin, but it basically spread throughout all human race, all the human race, down to this present time. The Bible tells us what we just read, and what we just read is that the proof that there is death in is that all men have sinned. In other words, it told us that there's spiritual death, but it also tells us the proof of that death is that all have sinned. Every single one of us not only was born into sin, but born into death, but as a result of that spiritual death, we had a death nature, and as a result of it, we continued to sin. Now, what is sin? Some people may say, what is sin? Sin is simply disobeying God's commandments. Sin is the transgression of God's laws. So one man fell, and it passed on to all men. All men were born with a death nature. And there's more to explain about that because of one man's sin. But because sin entered into the world, then all men became sinners. And the Word says here, and I'm going to read another verse of Scripture that's in your manual, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now the next verse is in Romans 6, 23, and it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you work a job, or if you've ever worked a job, perhaps you're retired, or perhaps you're too young to work a job. But if you've ever worked a job and you received a paycheck, that was your wages. That's what you received as a result of what you did. And so what the Bible is saying is that as a result of what Adam did, then it became what we ultimately and perpetually, all of us as human beings did what? Sin. But this scripture here in Romans 6:23, in which you have in your manual, tells us that the wages of that sin is death. In other words, like you get a paycheck for what you did, you'll get wages for what you are and what you came into existence as a sinner by nature. You would get the wages of that. Well, what are the wages of that? What the Bible just said, death. Your paycheck at the end of this life is death. And what does death mean? Death means being separated from God. Separated from God means spending eternity in a place where God's not at. And that place, of course, is hell. The Bible describes that. There is a literal hell in the afterlife for those whose wages are sin, and then they do not do something to escape that. But the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is spiritual death forever, but the gift of God is an escape through Jesus Christ if we put our trust in Him. And that's what you've just done recently, and that's what I understand. That's one of the reasons why you're tuning in to this lesson one. Again, I want to read John 3:16 because it is the heart of the gospel. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is believing in Him? That's very important that we understand that. Believing in Him is not just, as I said from the very beginning, believing in His existence. But believing in Him goes to a place of commitment, a true life commitment to Him. It's believing. Believing in Him is believing the gospel story, the gospel that is in the Word of God. Not giving you scripture. We will give you scripture in time for all of these different things. But I want to rehearse just for a few moments what that gospel story is. Why you're here. Why you're here at this website. Why you're taking these lessons. Why you are taking a discipleship of basic fundamentals, but of what it means to receive Christ and follow Christ. It's because of the gospel. Now the gospel, as I have it listed here, I'm going to give you 10 different things very quickly, not go into scripture. I'm just going to mention them and promise you that you'll receive much more scripture in the future, so you'll know and see in black and white it's right there in the Word of God. Tonight's an introduction, or today, whatever time you're watching. Number one, the believer must believe if he's going to believe in Christ. He must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Christ. The word Christ means the sent one. Someone must believe that Jesus actually was sent from God. Number two, you must believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. We understand the story of Christmas, which is the nativity and Christ being conceived by the Holy Spirit. But we must believe and understand that the gospel message includes that. Number three, that Jesus lived a sinless life. He's the first man ever to ever come to planet Earth and live a sinless life and follow the commandments of His Father. Number four, Jesus becomes God's sacrifice for every man's sins. Every man's sins. What Jesus did included everyone. But what we have to understand that it's only through that commitment that we become a Christian and qualified for eternal life. Number five, Jesus literally became sin and all my sins personally. We'll talk more about this. But your commitment to Christ is understanding that Jesus took your place, as in God's penalty for sin was placed on Jesus. And when you put your trust in Him, you have to understand that Jesus became all your sins, or took all your sins in His sacrifice. Number six, we must believe, or you must believe, and I must believe, that Jesus shed His blood and died on the cross. We must believe that Jesus literally died on the cross. Number seven, Jesus went to hell. The Bible tells us that Jesus went to hell and took what you and I deserve. He suffered God's penalty for the wages of sin. Remember what I said? If you draw a paycheck at the end of the week, your paycheck is what you deserve, what you've worked for. If you live this life uninterrupted by Jesus Christ, at the end of this life, your wage would be separation from God. But thank God for the gift of God that you've received and that I have received. Number eight, Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. This is the gospel story. He lived a sinless life. He died in our place. And as a result of believing in that and trusting in that and making a commitment to that, then we come into the family of God. Something supernatural happens to us, and we've got much more to say about that in future lessons. Number nine, Jesus ascended back to heaven to be with his Father and your Father. Number 10 is very important. Jesus' sacrifice set you and I free from the wages of sin and spiritual death. If I believe the gospel story in my heart and confess that belief with my mouth and commit to a life of serving him through repentance of all my sins, then I will be born again. We're going to talk about what born again is a little bit later in later lessons. Repentance. What is repentance? It's very, very important. Repentance means asking God's forgiveness for our sins and making a deliberate choice to stop deliberately sinning by God's grace. What is sin? We answered that earlier. Sin is transgressing God's laws. One of the things that you'll find out, and we will talk about in the next lesson, that once you have received Christ, we're going to talk about and use terms like born again, new creature. But one of the things that we're going to talk about is you've received a new appetite. This new appetite goes two different ways. One, it desires God. It wants God. Number two, there's certain things it does not want, does not enjoy anymore. And those things are the things that once were sin in our life. Repentance is very important. As I said, let me give you two scriptures on that, and they're there in your manual. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We're going to talk about the Holy Ghost in time to come. And then in Acts 3, 19, "Repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And so I want you to understand that what you have just done is so vitally important. Or maybe, as I said prior, maybe you're watching this because somebody recommended it. Repentance means a confession of your sins. Just simply saying, "Lord, I am a sinner. I need Christ because I don't want the wages of sin." And we're going to, in just a moment, tell you how to do that. Maybe you've already done that, but we want to help you to make sure that you have already made that commitment. Here's what you do. Here's how salvation happens. This is from, as I started out this lesson by saying, welcome to a family, and you truly are in a family. It's called the family of God. You can't join this. You have to be spiritually birthed into it. But here's what you do. Romans 10, 9, you see it in front of you. "That if thou shalt confess with your mouth, thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." If you confess with your mouth, then Romans 10, 10 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So there's two things. You have to believe in your heart everything that I just described as the gospel. And then you believe that inside of you and say, I don't only believe that, I will commit to it by speaking a confession before God. Now, I'm going to lead all of us, and we do have a studio audience here today, and I'm going to lead you that are watching in what I would call a salvation prayer. It's very simple. Maybe you've already done this. Maybe you're in question, like, I just recently came to Christ. Did I say the right things? I'm sure you probably did, but let's make sure. I'm going to pray a prayer before God, and I'm going to ask that everyone, even in here, to say this out with me. So you'll hear other voices at this moment in time as I pray this. This is a salvation prayer. Let's all pray this together. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and to my life. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me from all my sins and wash me in your shed blood. I confess you as my Savior. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I promise to serve and follow you the rest of my life. I confess you as my Savior. I confess that I am a Christian. Thank you. Thank you for praying that prayer. Just in a quick reference as I'm closing right now, and we will talk more about this in follow-up lessons, there's a few things that I would recommend right away if you've just come to Christ. Pray. Pray on a daily basis. We'll describe how to do that more. What is prayer? Just start talking to God. Just start talking to God. Talk to Him. Talk to Him after you've looked at this lesson. Number two, read the Bible. I don't know where to start. We're going to tell you where to start, and we're going to tell you how to maneuver through the Bible. Somebody might say, I don't have a Bible. There's plenty of places. You can go to Walmart and pick up a Bible. I recommend a King James Bible. Or you can go on, you know, you can go on the App Store, and I would recommend, it may cost you it's $3.99. It's the Pocket Sword King James Version, or you can get a new King James Version, and you can just download it on your phone or your, you know, iPad or what kind of ever electronic device. But get a Bible. We'll help you maneuver more in the days ahead. Go to church. That's very important. What church do you recommend? Well, we have three services a week. And if you're not physically close to us, please join us online. And if I knew a place in your area that taught the same things, then maybe I could recommend. But right now, it's very important as a baby in Christ that you're going to church. I'm going to pray for you, and then we're going to close, and then I will see you next time. Let's all pray together. Father, I thank you for those who have joined us. I'm speaking life over them, that the life that has begun in them will continue in Christ. And they'll put down roots, and they'll grow, they'll get strong, and then they'll mature in Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to speak these blessings over them, and I bless them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next time in Lesson 2 in the Discipleship Manual. Amen. God bless.